Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More, and wow, I've got a squeaky chair, so hopefully it won't be making too much noise during the show. Want to thank you for being here, and you know that if you've missed shows, they are always available in archives, and you can catch that on Facebook on the Barn Goddess BBQ and More page. I usually try to put who the interview was with, and you can check them out there, or you can go straight to blogtalkradio.com and put in a date, or put in just the Barn Goddess and Barn Goddess BBQ and More show, and there's like 100 that'll come up, and then there'll be hundreds that come up from being on the other network. So they're all there. You can listen from day one if you would like, and every once in a while I go back and see. Sometimes people do start listening all over again, and you get shocked how many thousands of listeners there are out there interested in barbecue. In Florida, we are in full swing, which I'm sure everybody realizes. Georgia has an awful lot of stuff going on, too. Any of the warmer climate areas, Louisiana, they've got stuff. Texas is always happening over there. This weekend, we've got a contest with the Florida Barbecue Association in Dothan, Alabama. Carrie Farrell puts on a dynamic show up there, and they are actually going to do a World Food Qualifier in a couple other events. So to all the people going there, good luck. Here in the state of Florida, we're going to be in Northport for a brand new contest. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a little odd. So I'm just kind of, the teams already know that it's a little different because we are not allowed to get in there till after 1 o'clock. There is a farmer's market. So it's a little challenging sometimes when we have new venues that we haven't been to. This is kind of a first, you know, because maybe it would have been a better deal to do a Saturday-Sunday, which we recently just did, which is another big event, a big deal for us to do stuff that's new. People don't like change, but you know what? If it means getting another contest, and it's a way to, you know, theoretically, we could have two in one weekend, which people all over the U.S. do. We would be maniacs, much like David Morrow and his wife, doing two in one weekend, and it could happen here. I'm going to go right to my guest because I see that he's called in, and we've got, I just lost my mouse. We've got Scott Smith with us from Southern Q Smokers. Are you there, Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, great. I really appreciate that you could be with us, and you're queuing, brewing, and stewing, right?
Queuing, stewing, and brewing.
Well, I was close. I got them back. QSB, QSB, and then you're also Southern Q Smokers, and you're the QSB Trailers, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so let's talk first about, and let me just make sure you're as loud as I can have you. Let's talk first about how you got into barbecue.
Well, my father was a backyard barbecuer, as probably most of us were back in our childhood. I was actually brought into competition barbecue by a fellow golf partner, which is now a great barbecuer and owns a barbecue store, Mark Rasmussen, which is the barbecuesuperstore.com. And
yeah.
We were partners for about 3 years with Queuing, Stewing, and Brewing. He actually come up with Queuing, Stewing, and Brewing. He named our team. But he moved to Michigan. He was an next-door neighbor of mine for about 15 years and moved back home to Michigan where he was from. And Mark and I cooked our very first backyard event in 2009. And I found out 3 weeks later that I had cancer. So we didn't cook anymore in 2009, and we come out in 2010 as a professional team, and our very first contest was Pensacola, Florida, in 2010.
Oh. Wow. So did you cook the KCBS Pensacola, or did you cook the FBA Pensacola?
the KCBS. I've never cooked at FBA. I have been around some FBA guys and FBI, but I've never cooked an FBA event. For me, most of them are really south of Macon. And to chase points like I've done in the past and in my career, I mean, I've found it a lot better if I stick with one sanctioned body. If you want to finish in the right. top, it gives you more chances because of the way they eliminate scores after your 10. And I have mainly been a KCBS hook. I've been to MBN and GBAs and FBAs, but I've never participated in any as a Q&N student in brewing.
Well, you know, we're seeing a lot more of the Southern Q smokers down here in the Florida area. And I've got to say, probably the first one I actually saw was, it wasn't Kenny, but Kenny is one of your distributors now, isn't he?
Yes, Kenny is our Florida distributor dealer down there now, and Kenny's doing a great job for us and selling quite a few cookers, actually. I'm real proud to have Kenny on board with us.
Yeah, how did you decide to get into fabricating cookers?
It all evolved from competition barbecue. I was a fabricator from the time I was 7 years old. I grew up in a fabrication family. I've got family that owns fabrication businesses out about 50 miles from where I'm at, where I was born in Cedartown in Rome, Georgia. And I worked in the fabrication industry up until my early 20s. I was kind of a musician and a fabricator. And 15 years, I went into property management and done away with fabrication altogether. And in 2010, when things kind of fell apart with property management and the whole real estate and shopping center world, I came and opened up a fab shop. And I was going to be the old school fab shop, and I had several buddies that wanted me to build cookers. And I think right out of the gate, we built a couple of cookers. People liked them, and I had 15 orders before I could make my head straight. And I've done nothing but build cookers. We're not a fab shop. We're actually a smoker shop, and that's all we do is build smokers and trailers.
And are you only building gravities, or do you also have some kind of stick burner?
We do. We build stick burners. Water. I cook personally. I've never cooked on a gravity feed. It is one of my number one sellers, but I've never been on one. I cook on a water cooker. I actually have been a water cooker my entire career as Q&N Stewart & Brewing. I've never had a gravity of my own. I built cookers for Myron when it was called Jacksol South. When we started doing the insulated cooker with the raise-up door, I was helping Myron. I built some cookers for him. My water cooker was already designed and on the market, and one of his guys looked at one year. I think it was in Tupelo, Mississippi, and he said, you know, we need to talk. And I was building cookers for him before it went to Myron Mix and Smokers for a couple of years.
You know what? I did hear that. I forgot that. So the hog cooker with the door that raises up, is that your design?
Myron and I worked together on a lot of that. Back in 11 and 12, Myron and I we were really good buddies. We traveled together, done some things together, and that is a combination, I guess, of both. Myron's always had the firebox that loaded from the end, or the side, mm-hmm. if you will, where all the Southern Qs have always loaded from the front. But a very similar concept back when they were the Jacksol South. And we did build some hot cookers for him. To say I designed that hydraulic lid, no, I didn't. I mean, that was an idea. I think his cooker, even when Maxie built the old uninsulated cooker, the lid still raised from the front up, kind of like your grill on your patio. And I guess that was something they were used to. But now I notice Myron has gone, since he went to Myron Mix and Smokers, he's gone to more of a double-door style like we've mm-hmm. built from day one. He's done a double-door style now for, I know, a couple of years. I've had a couple in the last couple of years traded in and out. And his double-door is a hair different than mine, but a very similar concept. I don't know that he makes the hydraulic anymore at all, but that was just something, I don't know, brainstorming and a bunch of napkins in a bar that Myron and I came up with, and it made it work.
Yeah, those napkins, it's amazing what you can sketch out on napkins, isn't it?
It is. There's been the world's problems have been solved on bar napkins.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you kind of run us through the line that you have then, because it's not just a gravity feed. And that, let's talk just real quickly about that gravity feed. That, how heavy is that? Because that's a really big cooker.
My gravity feed, like the one you're talking about that Kenny has, it weighs about 650 pounds. That is a fully insulated double door or single door on that model. One-inch insulation throughout that cooker. It's right around that 600, 650 mark. And we built three other sizes of that cooker, though. I mean, I've got one that I actually picked up and loaded into a truck today that's gravity. We have a single door that is it's on our website at southerngearsmokers.com. We built a single door cooker. It has three racks and it's 7 inches apart, so you could cook butts or brisket on every rack. We can add racks if we're doing a lot of chicken and ribs for I've got homeowners that buy them that way sometimes with 5 and 6 racks. But the racks are 18 inches wide, 24 inches deep. Every Southern Q cooker built will hold a full pan. In other words, we don't build anything that you can't slide a full hotel pan in and have airflow on all four sides.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and we're going to go into this, but that's the difference with fabricators, whether it's trailers or whether it's cookers. The difference is you understand that and you know that world, because one of the cookers I have, you know, was a first time from a guy. I had like the second one he ever built, and I said, man, if you would just make it 2 inches deeper, or, you know, wider, however right. you want to call it, you could put three pans across then. And he's like, well, you know, I don't see the difference there. I go, it's 2 inches. And you increase the capacity by 50% to put that 2 inches
exactly.
on it. And
yeah, I studied a lot of cookers. When we were first started cooking as a backyard team, I was not in the smoker business. And I looked at a lot of smokers. Backwoods, every smoker they used to make didn't hold a full pan. I never figured it out. I thought, wow, why can this thing not hold a full pan? And I looked at the old Maxi cookers that Myron was cooking on, which I used to own one of them. I won my first grand on one of the old Maxis, non-insulated. We used to take them home and spray paint them every week to keep them black or roll them down. Those cookers would hold, they would hold three full pans on each rack. I could put six pans in my old Maxi cooker, and I love it. I still own that cooker today. And those, and when I thought, you know, I'm going to build a cooker, I wanted my cooker to hold a full pan. And every design we do, unless somebody really comes up and twists my arm that they've got to have something that's got to fit in a little hole somewhere on their patio or deck, every cooker we build has a slam latch, and every cooker we build will hold a full pan.
Well, I like the slam latch too. That's that makes a huge difference to me. But you said you actually had one you picked up and put in a truck. How much does it weigh?
That cooker there's two of us that picked it up, but that cooker weighs about 285 pounds. On our website, it's called the Limo Junior or the Limo Mini. It's a gravity feed cooker. The cooker stands about 4.5 foot tall, 5 foot tall if you stand by it, but it's got like 17-inch legs on it. With a caster, it's got a shelf on the bottom. You could hold charcoal, wood chunks, whatever. But it works the exact same way as our limo. It's the exact same cooker. It has the same tuning plate. It's just half the size of a limo, and it's about half the price. That cooker retails at $19.95, I believe, on our site. And that is the hottest cooker we're building right now. We're putting out three of those a week, and we're taking orders for June.
Wow, because that would obviously be something great for competitors for chicken, probably, isn't it?
Oh, I've got a competitor that just recently bought his second one. I was actually lucky enough to cook next door to those guys in Bainbridge, Georgia. They own two of them. They're running two temps. And you could theoretically cook a contest on one. One of the first ones that I put out, a team bought, Big Jim, he was going to go cook. I said, as long as you got your timing right, I think you're fine. I mean, the cooker would, like the racks are set, it would hold 9 racks of ribs, 3 to a shelf. It would hold, you know, probably 9 butts, 3 to a shelf. It would hold 3 briskets, 1 to a shelf. It's just a great cooker. Backyard guys love it. I sell a lot of them to the backyard teams, a lot to homeowners. That cooker has really turned the page on what a small cooker is supposed to be able to do. And the footprint of that cooker, you're only talking, you know, 2 foot deep, by roughly around 28 inches wide, and that includes the gravity chute, and it gives you an 18-inch wide rack that's 24 deep that you can, you know, put the full pans in, because the full pan normally measures around 12 by 22,
mm-hmm.
and we base a lot of things off that, but that, if you put that 12-inch wide pan in there, I've got 3 inches of airflow on both sides of that pan. So it's not jamming the cooker, stopping it, choking it down or anything. You're not
right.
creating a bunch of extra smoke due to air. And the way our tuning plate has evolved over the last 3 or 4 years, we constantly work on temperatures, because I like a hot spot in any cooker I have. And if somebody builds a cooker without a hot spot, I probably don't want it, because every now and then if you get behind in a meet during a cook and you're on a timeline, you need somewhere to put that that's a little hot. Well,
right.
our mini cooker doesn't really have that. Our limo does. The mini is pretty equal throughout. But the backyard, the guys have learned to time their meats at the right time and have things come off at the right time to where ribs and chicken are going on, butts are coming off. And our pro guys have actually started playing with it. And, you know, they got butts and briskets coming off and ribs and chicken going in. So it's actually been a great thing. The thing is, I can't make that cooker have a hot spot. That cooker is equal throughout, I guess, because of the size of it. To where our limo, which is what you saw at Uncle Kenny's, that bottom right corner where the fire comes in, it's going to be a little hotter. And most gravity feed companies, I think, are that way. I'm not a gravity guy, but most of the cookers, wherever that firebox is at, it's going to be, you know, 10, 15 degrees hotter. And if you're tacking sauce on ribs or tacking sauce on chicken, I think that's a great tool to have. That's a plus for the cook or a cooker manufacturer to me, as opposed to a negative. I think that's a plus.
Yeah, well, and you're right, because if you need to get the meat to break or what have you, it's nice to know where that is. And I'm looking at your website now, so that's that cute little cooker that's red on top and black fade that you're talking about?
Yes, you're on the homepage. Go over to where it says Gravity Feed Cookers, and if you'll scroll, go down to Gravity Feed, the second one is the mini.
Okay.
Or the junior. And it'll give you all the specs. It'll give you the height, weight, give you meat capacities, everything is listed there on the web. I have a great web guy, and he does a pretty good job of coming over here, putting things on there and saying, okay, it'll hold this, it'll hold that. I find him pulling meat out of my refrigerator and laying ribs out and laying briskets out and things, but he does a very good job with what he does. The information on there is pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's cute. It's a good-looking little rig, and that's pretty darn lightweight.
Yeah, that cooker, I mean, we can do any of our wheels on it. The way it's pictured, it's got a 5-inch hard caster. We've got custom. We have an upgraded caster that's it's a non-air pneumatic, if you will. It's a solid foam-filled tire, and our limo is actually holed up to that. This caster is specially built for us in Norcross, Georgia. They built a caster for us that'll hold the weight of our cooker. The problem we had with the pneumatics that you go buy at Home Depot, Harbor Freight, or Northern Tool, the hubs were breaking, and I had a caster company to make me a solid steel one, and we've got a pneumatic, or we've got our standard. Right? The pneumatics are there an upgrade. I mean, we have very few options, but our options include rack, pneumatic casters, which don't have a valve stem. They're a solid foam fill caster, but we have a great rapport on those. I've had that caster out now for 2 years, and I have not replaced any. And I guarantee, my manufacturer guaranteed those. He said, you bust one of these, we're going to replace it for you, Scott. And I have not had a single solid foam caster to come back since we went with this new design. Their engineers spent about a day and a half at our shop, and they were pushing the cookers back and forth, making the two front ones that swivel go side to side and right to left and do U-turns as you go forward and backwards with them. And they busted, I don't know, 25 casters that in those 2 days. And they figured out the one they needed that would work, and they made it into a huge rubber solid foam feel for me.
That's great.
And did a great job. So we were really proud of those guys, and we've had a good rapport out of our solid casters.
Wow. I like that you offer the stainless steel racks, because people that get them on any grill, you're going to want them on every grill, because they're amazing. So I really do like that you have that. I'm looking over at your grills, your True Grills. That's set up just with a charcoal basket. That's not a maze or anything, right?
That actually, are you looking at the little grill with the flip-up top and the big front door on it?
Yep.
That is my answer to a Green Egg. I think that grill sells for $800 or $900. I'm not on the website, actually, but that grill is our answer to a Primo or an Egg. That grill is an offset cooker, for one, if you want. You can have that charcoal basket on the bottom, and you could put a steel plate, which comes with it, and it's an offset heat converter cooker. You could slide a full pan in there, fill it with water. It then becomes a water cooker. You can pull the charcoal rack out of the bottom, slide it up to that top, and it's a direct heat grill for burgers, steaks, chicken, or your backyard barbecue. That cooker comes with an option of a Guru adapter, or it comes with an option of just your standard dial Weber controls, the round 7-inch circle with the triangle holes.
Mm-hmm.
That is an all-in-one. I have one of those at my home. My son and my wife have done everything from baked pies and cheesecakes and biscuits in it all the way to grilling burgers and dogs or slow-smoking sausage. That cooker will actually run to smoke cheese and things or cure out bacon. We brand that cooker between the 80 degrees all the way up to 1,100. It's fully insulated all the way around the sides. That thing is has the same insulation in it that our competition smokers do. And it'll also hold a full pan up on that top rack, and you can close the lid. I've got a couple of competition cooks in KCBS that solely use that cooker to tack sauce on ribs and chicken, and also they separate their point and flat and do their burn-in up there on it. I've got several guys that have done that, and I've modified cookers such as like the J5 Jumbo that comes with those drawers in it.
Right.
We've actually taken those Jambos, pulled all the drawers out, insulated that full box, and put that same scenario in it. And I've got competition teams that cook 3 and 4 racks of ribs on their – I leave the J5 stainless lid. It looks great. Jamie does a great job with it. But I've actually adapted those J5s into a water cooker, offset cooker, or a grill the same way. And that's about the same size as what you see that little – grill on the side of one of those is. And that's kind of how that thing evolved. And we just started making it, putting 4 wheels on. I have a lot of homeowners to buy it.
I can see that where a lot of guys, I mean, I love it. I love the what it looks like. I can see where, wow, that's pretty versatile for somebody to have, especially
a
homeowner.
At a price point, I mean, you take an extra large Green Egg or an extra large Primo, you're in that $1,200 to $1,500 price range, and for $800-$900, you got this thing. It's fully insulated. You have a choice of 1,200 paint colors, and those things are really good. I've had a lot of good reviews on those.
Yeah, that looks awesome. The other thing that I think you're kind of becoming known for, and you just said 1,200 paint options. The custom paint jobs you guys are doing are phenomenal. Do you have your own paint shop, or are you farming that out?
No, we actually have our own paint shop built right here inside of our head. But if you walk into our weld shop, you can take another 50, 75 feet and go back to our paint booth. We put a paint booth in about a year and a half ago. Our paint jobs were normally kind of a farm paint job back in the day. If you get a cooker that's over 2 years old, it's got like a farmer's paint job. But about 18 months ago, we put a paint booth in. It's state-of-the-art, and our paints are second to none now. I personally went to a body and paint school for 11 months here locally at our Chattahoochee Tech. And I've got guys here that paint. Our cookers go in. They get a sealer primer coat, which is based at 650 degrees. And all of our paints are just a normal automotive paint, which will hold up to 450 degrees, but as well insulated as our cookers are. I've never had one of my cookers with burnt paint on it somewhere. If I have, I have not seen it yet. If you're listening to this show and you've got one you've burnt something off of, I want to hear from you.
Yeah, because I've heard it with a couple of the other companies that are doing what I call the car paint jobs, because that's basically what it is, and they're beautiful. I've seen a couple of the other guys with another company had to get theirs taken care of. And, the bad thing is, obviously, getting it back to you and everything else is where that is inconvenient for both parties. But, yeah, you've done some beautiful stuff. Let's talk water cookers for a minute. Your water cookers are pretty good size, and we're get into a lot of weight. What kind of capacity are they looking at?
Well, there's one water cooker that's not on there yet. It's not on there because I've sold every one that we've had here. So I've had a couple of guys look at it. We have a water cooker the same size as that mini. It'll actually hold two full pans per rack. And there's three racks in it, and it's phenomenal. And I've let a couple of people leave here with them, and I'm getting phone calls on them. It's the reason they're not on the website. The other one you see on there is the 250. That's a that cooker has three racks in it. That's 46 inches wide. You can put nine full pans in that cooker with butts in them. We can add racks to where. You know, you could add a lot more for ribs or whatever. The big one that you see mounted on a trailer with the stacks coming up above, we don't offer that on wheels. That's mainly a mount cooker. That's called the Southern Q500. That's what I personally have cooked on my entire professional career since the Maxi cooker, which I put a 500 on my rig in 2010, shortly after I went into business here. And that cooker will hold 50 Boston butts. I've personally put myself 48 butts in that cooker, and there's a little room left. And you can put 16 full pans in it.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing. That's a pretty hefty, it weighs 1,100 pounds. That's
yes.
That's a heavy cooker.
It is a heavy cooker, but it gets the job done. I love it. And I cook KCBS comps on it. Why I do it, I don't know. My cooker goes from 0 to 404 minutes, and I love that part of it. That cooker is 2-inch insulated. It is a little heavier than the limos, but it's just an amazing machine. I have a lot of vendors that use that. We have those in restaurants.
I bet.
Have a couple of restaurants down your way in Florida that actually use those cookers, and they're
is that
doing
right?
really, really well with them. There's a girl down near Tampa called Barbie Q.
Oh, yeah.
She has one of my green ones, actually. It's as green as my trailer that you saw me in at World Food. That cook, she just ordered two more of those. She owns two now and just ordered two more.
Wow. Well, that's saying a lot. And that'll hold two pigs?
Oh, yeah, you could, well, head off, put on the side of the pig. Yeah, you could pull out rack two, rack four, and put two pigs in it very easily.
Little 100 pounders?
One to 115s probably. Could do head off, you could do bigger ones.
Well, and probably, now let's go to trailers for a second. And everybody knows that I have spent a long time deciding on what to do about a trailer and researching and asking everybody and their mother questions. Scott has been my answer to the trailer, and I will say Kenny kind of steered me in your direction. I think David Morrow actually also said, you know, I might get a hold of you and talk to you about that. But I think, and I want you to speak to this too, I think the reason I really decided to go with you is you're the only one that was listening. You're the only one that knew what the hell I was talking about, and it drove me insane for me to say to somebody, this is what I want, and then suddenly it was like, darling, you need this. And then you hit me with a couple of things that I would have ended up with a trailer that I might not have been able to license in the state of Florida. So how has that helped you with trailers and people, because I'm telling everybody out there, if you want somebody who knows what he's talking about, that's why I felt comfortable going to you.
To come back with that, I am a Facebooker occasionally. I did recently see some posts on things, and there was a post down later that said, you know, listen to your dealer. You got to have the right dealer. And my name was, the reason I even saw the post is because my name was mentioned in it numerous times. I know what a vendor needs because I've been in the vending world for 7 years now. I know what a competition cook needs because I've been in the comp world for for 7 years now, and I've done fairly well at both with comps and with vending. And I get drawings from people every day, just like the drawing that you sent me. And I go through it with a fine-tooth comb because I know that you need phone chargers and alarm clocks in your bedroom. I know that you want to plug a hairdryer in the bathroom. I know that you're going to run a Guru or an Old Hickory or a Southern Pride or something. I know that you're going to want water on your porch or water in, you know, how you want your sink laid out. There are certain things that just won't fit into a trailer a certain way that somebody draws them because the length or the width of the sink package. You can call your average trailer dealer and they couldn't tell you what the sink package would fit into. I know it off the top of my head because I'm in a brand new trailer every 3 weeks. Freedom, all in all, does a great job. They've built trailers for me for 6 years now. I have personally been to their factory probably 25 times. I've walked the factory with every foreman in there, every owner, every supervisor, and half of their employees. They know me by name. And there's certain things that I expect to be done that undoubtedly have not been done with some of the other dealers. But a lot of that is just dealer knowledge of, hey, Lee, I had a guy the other day showed up and had a trailer that was 25 foot and he had a dovetail on the back. He said, I didn't know it come with a dovetail. I said, well, the dealer ordered you a car hauler. So the last 3 foot of his trailer is unusable unless he puts a wedge in it. And that is a common thing. If you order a 24-foot trailer, it normally comes with a dovetail. We omit dovetails. I don't even order a dovetail for any reason. But I'm not a cargo trailer dealer. I am a concession trailer builder and barbecue competition trailers. We do a ton of trailers with one of our most popular units is a comp trailer that does. It's an 8-8-8. You got an 8-foot bedroom, full bath. You got an 8-foot kitchen, 8-foot porch. And the trailer weighs 3,800 pounds. You can pull it with an F-150 with most cookers.
Wow.
On the back. And we built this trailer. Butt Rub just bought one. Jeremy Moyers owns one. Bob Trudnack with Guru owns one. These trailers were designed to do exactly what those guys are wanting them for and wanting them to do. It's a great trailer. If you buy a trailer from Freedom through another dealer and you wind up with an air conditioner in the wrong spot or the wrong size or you wind up not having an outlet there, that is 100% normally the dealer. It's not normally Freedom. I've been a licensed dealer through the state of Georgia for them for 6 years, and I've sent a couple of trailers back to them for little bitty things that I didn't want to tackle here that they were better equipped for. Yes, right. It's expensive to send your trailer back 200 or 300 miles, but at the end of the day, it's worth it to have your trailer right. And anybody that buys a trailer from me, the trailer will be right because 85% of the trailers that I sell come here first. And we plug them in, we check things, we pull the awnings out, we run the water, we run the air. We do everything that Freedom does. Freedom does the same thing there. I do have a few trailers that get delivered directly from the factory to Maine or Illinois or Wisconsin or whatever, and I have had a problem or two. Everybody's going to. If you sold as many trailers and cookers as I've had, you're going to have a couple of problems.
Sure.
And I try to rectify the problem with a local RV dealer if it's possible, and if it's not possible, sometimes I get somebody that's really hard that, you know, that it's just impossible to deal with. But all in all, Freedom does a great job, but it all boils down to the dealer. And if you pull into any trailer place that you go by that's got 50 sitting on their lot and it's for bikes and motorcycles and landscapers, they will sell you a vending trailer. They will sell you a competition barbecue trailer. But will they have everything where you want it? And will they have the outlets where you want it? The answer is probably no. Because unless you have it drawn out that way, it's not there.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of funny you said about the dovetail because I forgot that that was something that came back in specs from another trailer company, and I didn't recognize what the dovetail was. And he goes, well, that's you know, what you have for a car holder. And I'm like, are you not listening? You know, I want to be able to roll a cooker into there, and I need to be able to work in a kitchen. Oh, well, I guess you don't need that then. No. So there's just, it put me very much at ease that you knew what I was looking for and what I was asking about. And, you know, I've got to say for everybody out there looking for trailers that once you start calling around, they're going to find out the same thing. So I have appreciated working with you. I'm anxious to get it like everybody else. What is your turnaround time normally so that if somebody's interested, what they could expect?
Normally, we are a 4, 5, 6 week company. Right now, Freedom has had some, they've had an overload, and some of that is through some of the dealers that didn't know what they were ordering, undoubtedly, due to recent posts. But they, right now, they're running about 8 or 9 weeks. Normally, they're running 4 to 6. I do have a little bit of preference there because I have really evolved and invented some of the things that they do today. There's been things that we didn't think were possible that we've made possible in the last 6 years. There's been packages put in that were never put in before. Me saying, hey, I've actually bought things and took them down there and said, why can't we put this here, this here, this here? And after we take an empty trailer sitting out in the lot there and we line all this up, you know, the owners, the supervisors, they say, yeah, that'll work, this will work, this will work. And they have really worked with us. I mean, Freedom is owned by a brother and sister, and they are just great people. They live in the Tifton and Willacoochee area, and they will bend over backwards to do the right thing for most of their dealers. And in the past, there's been little things, but our company here, we can do just about anything with a warranty issue. I've had 2 warranty issues in 6 years with Freedom at my shop. Other than
wow.
that, I've never had any because I ordered the trailer right the first time. We've had 2 warranty issues in 6 years, and one of the trailers that I did a warranty job on was not even one that I sold. But any of the issues that you have, whether it be the Dexter axles or the Coleman AC or the free-flow water pump, those things can be handled by any RV dealer. If
right.
you have a problem where something bends or breaks or you have you know, something major, it's probably going to go to the factory. And as far as siding and little things, we can handle all that, and most dealers are equipped for that. Freedom really got strict a couple of years ago with the dealers, and they wound up making sure that we were able to do most of these things. I get a trailer occasionally that'll have some rough edges on it or some things that need to be done, but we're able to do that here. And Freedom offers all of their dealers these repair kits or, you know, certain colors of stuff that you would need to repair a trailer or to do something to a trailer. It's all readily available, but it's up to the dealer to either, A, ship it to them or go and get it. And that was part of that post that some of the dealers weren't willing to do. If you've got a salesman on a lot, it's like a car lot. They're out to sell you something, whether it's a cargo trailer or a vending trailer. They're going to tell you they're going to make it right for you. And if you come to me, I'm very slow. I've been accused of being slow, but I want to make sure you have the right thing. I mean, I take a drawing and I'll look at your drawing, I'll email it or fax it back to you. We make some changes. We turn a sink one way, or we'll flip a door in a bedroom another way, and it's all for good reason. And it from a time I get a drawing such as yours was a 30-footer, and so I get 30-foot drawings sometimes that are very complicated, and I'll go through and make my changes, and I'll send them back to the customer, and then they've got to get with their other team member or the other partner and say, okay, we think we want to do this, and, you know, well, you know what, and 80% of the time, these guys come back, you know what you're talking about. I think we're just going to run with it the way you just redrew it.
Yeah.
Because it makes more sense. And I think you and I have done that on a couple of things that you ordered. And when a customer's spending, you know, $25,000, $30,000, let's make it right, because there's certain things that you guys probably haven't thought about when you go to build a trailer. And I try to reach every customer's needs on that and to make it right. the first time to where they're not going through pulling additional wires or pulling additional insulation or putting an additional AC or an additional water tank. I mean, I try to make it right the first time.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, I did not realize, and boy, you were quick to catch that it definitely needs to be separated for vending, again, to be approved in the state of Florida. Talk a little bit about this. Just, I know that you're kind of on a time frame, but I do want to mention this. It's a little upsell, but the torsion axles, because that seemed to be something, as I called a couple of the different companies, that they're like, oh, you don't need that. And I'm like, look, I don't want the 5,500-pound axles. If I just get straight spring axles, I want 7,000 or 7,500. But then after talking to Kenny and Wink, you know, I'm like, I want the torsion. So talk a little bit about that, because I really think with as much travel as we do, that's probably the one upgrade that I think people should really, that and the size of the tires that people should think about.
I agree with you. I started out with Freedom with my demo units having a 3,500-pound leaf spring axle, and they set much lower to the ground. When you're pulling in and out of the dip of a gas station or a McDonald's when you're traveling, or a rest area, and there's a speed bump, they set a lot lower. I would definitely, with just about any barbecue trailer that's anything over 12 foot, if you go to a 16, 18, 20 foot trailer, I would pay the extra money to go to a 5,200. A torsion axle is basically the same thing as an independent suspension, as opposed to a leaf spring axle. It weighs on the trailer both ways. That spring is tied on both sides of the axle, usually within 25 to 30 inches. It's tied to the frame. A torsion axle is going to give you a lot better steering, a lot better ride when you're hitting bumps. If you go over a big bump on the passenger side of the road with a leaf spring axle, the whole trailer tends to bounce or vibrate you. If you go through it with a torsion axle, that one side of the trailer, those tires, those axles will flex in order to make that a lot smoother ride. Torsion axles are a lot better on tires. You won't blow as many tires if you have a torsion as you would a leaf spring. I couldn't tell the difference in the beginning, but when you're really cocking your trailer into the spot, when you're the 28th one to the contest and you're in spot four because the organizer didn't line them up the way they come in, and you park your trailer and two of your tires are bowed out to the side. I've been there, and they think, man, your axles were probably warped. I jackknifed it in there, and that's the way it's set. A torsion axle won't do that at all. A torsion axle will take all of that as you move it, because it doesn't have a spring. It's actually moving on a torsion cylinder that is built into that axle, and that axle's made for that. But a torsion axle is well worth, on a 5,200-pound axle, I think it's about a $600 upgrade. On a 75 like you've got, I want to say it's a $750 upgrade per axle. But it is well worth the money. You'll save your money and tires and warpage of your springs, or add a leaf springs.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's probably, I mean, I know this will sound weird, that's probably the thing I'm most excited about, because I do travel so much alone, and I just have a big thing about safety. So I just feel like it's going to be safer, and I'm feeling pretty confident about that. As somebody gets ready to look at trailers, what do you think that they should do actually first, besides figure out how much they can spend?
I would think I would want to know everything I'm hauling. I mean, I have customers. I had a trailer that left here yesterday that had the Southern Pride 500 on it. That pit weighs about 1,600 pounds. Mm-hmm. And they also had one of my limos on it, which weighs another 600. I would think about everything I'm hauling. If you're putting a lot of refrigeration and, you know, fryers and hood systems and things like that, you want to go the way you went with that 7,000-pound axle. The less you can put on the tire, because everything below the weight of that trailer is on that tire. And if you've got a good radial tire and a torsion axle, you're going to be better. The heavier you go with the axle, the better you're going to be. The stiffer the frame is, the thicker the metal on the frame is. People don't understand that we built a 3,500-pound axle trailer on a channel frame made out of, you know, 12 or 10 gauge or whatever, and it's a form channel. It's strong, and it's great for hauling your motorcycles. It's not great for hauling two 800-pound cookers on after day after day. Go ahead and go with that 5,200-pound. You're going to get a thicker frame. You're going to get a triple tube on the tongue. And then when you go up to a trailer that's above, you know, 24 foot like you've done, you're going to have a much thicker set of cross members as opposed to some of the manufacturers use these light tubings or a V-bend. We call, they're like a U. They have a flat side on both ends that screw to the plywood, and then they have a kind of a channel that's bent down, kind of like a gutter system or the siding on a metal building, to where you're going to have a solid channel that runs across every 24 or 16 inches, depending which length of trailer you bought. And we also have our porches beefed up to where they hold smokers. I hate pulling one of my trailers up from the factory without a smoker on it. They're so tongue-heavy with a smoker because we move the axles a couple of inches back, which makes the tongue heavier. Once you put the smokers on, the trailer pulls much better. The trailer's designed to haul that extra 2,000 pounds or 3,000 pounds on the back. And if you throw 1,000, 1,500-pound worth of smokers and equipment on it, and propane tanks and what have you, the trailer is much lighter on the tongue, and it receives it on the tail end. But if you had a regular trailer that you did that with, the tail end would be heavy, and you get a lot of fishtail going down the road.
Yep. And the last thing to talk about in regards to that, where people see and criticize the different trailer manufacturers, talk just a little bit about how that deck, what causes it or what has caused some of that in the past for the dipping. And, I mean, it's something that's talked about. So I'd just like you to maybe address that.
You did tell me about that. There's a lot of people that buy a trailer or get sponsored with a trailer, and they decide they want to add a 1,500-pound hood system to the back of it to take the smoker out instead of venting the smokestacks around, which would be the proper way. And then there's guys that want to put a hitch haul in the back of one that's designed to go on the back of your SUV or your camper to go down the road to haul your cookers with. If you take a trailer that is built to be 30 foot long or 24 foot long or 15 foot long, it doesn't matter, and you go and cut a hole in the back bumper and you put a receiver hitch in it and throw 600 pounds of coolers or 600 pounds of generators plus the structure that's holding that thing, you're going to see that. The trailer you're talking about, which you and I did talk about, that trailer wasn't designed to do what's been done to it. There's been a lot of there's been some of the support rails from the roof to the frame cut out, and if somebody wants that, they should order that in the beginning. As opposed, I've never had a trailer bent that I know of, and I've sold 300 Freedom trailers in the last 7 years, and I don't have any of those problems. But if you go take a torch and a welder to it yourself and you hodgepodge it, that's exactly what can happen. I try to see what a customer wants to put on a trailer in the beginning to where I make sure that trailer's built to where they hold it. I've had guys call me and say, well, I think my vehicle tows 8,800 pounds. They drive a half-ton vehicle. They said, you know, these 3,500-pound axles are fine. I said, what are you putting on it? And they go tell me they're putting a Southern Q500 or a Southern Pride 750 that weighs 1,800 pounds. I said, well, we really need to go to this 5,200-pound axle, and we need to do this, need to do this. This is going to cost you this amount. This is what's going to make you happy. And 99% of the time, those people listen to me, and they say, well, you're right. The trailer is still going to weigh close to the same amount, but it's going to hold a heavier weight. I mean, you've got to think of some of the interstates we go across. If you've been up north or if you've been out west, which I'm sure you have, some of these interstates are like rub boards, and your trailer's constantly bouncing up and down the road. Well, if you're bouncing 1,500 pounds on anything, at some point, something's going to give or bend or break.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that don't understand that. And to be able to understand that, you've got to learn the hard way, such as I have, over the years of seeing the different things that we've seen in the barbecue or the vending world. So
yeah.
I really think it's all about who you're buying it from and knowing what they're doing. Some of the guys that have bought from me have wound up totally changing directions and say, we're going to put a brick oven pizza on here, or we're going to put a 6,000-pound smoker, the generator, and a hood system on the porch. I've had that to happen. Well, when that happens and they take matters into their own hands and do that type of thing, that's what you get to see. And that does make me look bad or Freedom look bad, but we didn't do that job. That was done in somebody's backyard.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're still going all the way around of communication is just very, very important, and laying out what you know, like when I'm selling a house, I tell people, give me your wish list. And that really is kind of the same thing with the trailer. We need to communicate to you what our wish list is, and then you are there to help put that wish list in Santa's hands, basically.
Exactly. I mean, you're going to sell a three-bedroom house to a family of five. You're going to definitely say, hey, you may want that fourth bedroom. I mean, exactly. That's the same way with me. You may want this outlet, or you may want this axle. It's exactly the same concept.
Yeah. And let me just say, Scott, if somebody wanted to, because I know I'm keeping you longer than you had time for, but if they want to get a hold of you, what is the best way for someone to contact you, either about a Southern Q smoker or a trailer?
You can go either way with that, Lori. We can do, through our website, there's a contact, and all those emails come directly to me through the Southern Q website. Fill out the name and phone number info part. Generally, I call you back within 24 hours, or you can call me directly at the number that's on the website, which is 770-547-0110. But if the SouthernQSmokers.com website has our address, our direct phone lines, and we are here definitely to assist the barbecue and vending world.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I certainly appreciate working with you. I look forward to seeing you here real soon.
Yep, hopefully next Monday or Tuesday, I hope.
Yep, that'll be
so
great.
We'll be
all right, Scott.
Whatever date works for you, we'll make it work.
Okay, anything that you last minute that you want to leave us with?
No, anything those guys want with our Southern Q smokers or QSB trailers, definitely go to our website with that. And the QSB cooking schools are always available once a year. We also do private classes. If you any of those guys track me, I'm always available for that, too, at the same website and same number.
Okay. Thanks a lot for being with us. I really appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. That's Scott Smith with Southern Q Smokers or QSB Trailers. And again, you know, it's been a learning experience. I've talked about it time and time again. I'll remind you because, you know, I'm talking about a totally different trailer. Stay away from Greg Taylor, who is in Georgia, because he will build you a piece of shit trailer. Oops, I did say that, but I can. And why? Because we're on the Internet. So stay away from him. Always go to somebody that you know and get feedback from. You know, the one thing we're really good about, giving information to each other, we're not shy to help each other out. We're also not shy to beat somebody up. And that's why some of the things that I've asked Scott to comment on tonight, I did, because it's things that we've talked about in the past, either on the show or with other people, and it's things that you need to be concerned about if you're getting a trailer in the near future. And again, you know, it's your wish list and how much you can afford to buy. The other thing I'm just going to bring up, and then I'm just going to talk briefly about something else before I go here tonight, is finances. It's been really interesting for me. I thought I was going to just pay cash for it, and I needed to finance a little bit of it, and because I spent more than I thought I was going to spend, only because I wanted this, I wanted that. You know, I bought a new freezer. I've got stuff sitting here waiting to go into the trailer. And so, you know, you spend a little bit more. Again, it's the wish list, and I'm not going to do this again. My other concession trailer was small, and I'm kind of ready to get back into it. Catering has been really good. I've been super busy lately. So eventually, hopefully, we'll make some money in barbecue. But anyway, finances are funny for cargo, RVs, I didn't realize this. I mean, if it's a true RV, you can go to State Farm. They wanted me to lie to them. I mean, I hate to say this on air. They wanted me to bald-faced lie to them. They knew exactly. I didn't pull any punches, told them what kind of trailer it was. They're like, no, because it's a bedroom, it is considered an RV. They actually will finance up to 240 months. Hope you heard me say that right, 240 months. But you're talking about, you know, a huge motorhome. Push come to shove, Freedom trailers and QSB trailers were not recognized in their list. So that became something that was interesting. But Freedom trailers were listed in one of the other companies. Scott had given me a name of a company that I looked into and couldn't find a lot of information about. And so I ended up doing a bunch of research and went with Sheffield, and it happens to be part of BB&T. I'm familiar with BB&T because of being a broker. Not that they have a great reputation, because of they caused some problems in the banking industry. But the funny thing for me, and I have extremely great credit, they wanted income tax returns. I've never turned in income tax returns for houses. So it's because of what's happened with the banks and the real estate going into the crapper, let's just put it out on the table, they are really tight on this sort of thing. So Scott's been, you know, he has to do his part from the dealer's aspect, and he'll have to fill out some paperwork and then, you know, take care of it from his end. So obviously he's doing what needs to be done. But, you know, they worry about collateral. I'm putting down more than I'm going to borrow. So, you know, that's a no-brainer for them. But you're talking about the cost of a car. And I was in to see my CPA today, and the financial guy that happens to be in the same office, we were talking about this because he had a guy that he thought loaned on RV or cargo trailers, and they didn't end up doing that. But, you know, Jay mentioned to me that somebody, he just bought a brand-new truck, and, you know, trucks with nothing fancy. I mean, my truck was like $52,000. That's nothing fancy. And he just bought a new truck, and they wanted income tax returns. So it's kind of funny. I mean, I just got the truck 6 months ago, and I didn't get asked for that. But, you know, fortunately with Sheffield, I did not have to produce income tax statements. It's just kind of one of those things. If you are in business for yourself, you probably understand exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want somebody seeing. I've got, you know, look at my credit score, but that's how they got in trouble before. So it's kind of funny. You as you look into some of this stuff, you know, I was talking to Kenny, got Uncle Kenny, got that new trailer, and, you know, so this is like the first time I'm going to actually have a payment on something like this. It's not going to be a big payment, but, one more thing to stress you out. But I feel like I'm getting an awful lot of trailer for the money, so obviously you can look forward to when I pick it up, I will have tons of pictures. I love seeing, and I really have reached out to a lot of people who have gotten trailers in the last few years from various people. I think Michael Fay, when I had him on, he spent quite a bit of time of talking of Porculips Now. He spent quite a bit of time about talking about his trailer. He actually has a Freedom also. So, I'm encouraging you to definitely give Scott a call, because let me save you on some of that. Call around and talk to people. But when you, I think after you talk to a few of the salesmen-ish people that really don't know the trailers, you're going to go, oh, my God, why did I even waste my time? Because that's exactly how I felt after I spoke to him. And it's like, thank you. You know what I'm talking about. So, again, encourage that. I did get a chance to thank my sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q. Jim Kick, kicking butt the last couple of weeks. Hot Wachula, he's one of my new sponsors, and Matt's done an amazing job out there. So it looks like Swamp Boys, Sweet Smoke, and Swamp Boys a new sponsor. Hot Wachula and then Jim McCoyne, they are all right there, neck and neck in Florida right now. So I do want to thank the three of those guys are sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q, Swamp Boys, and Hot Wachulas. You guys are kicking ass right now, and congratulations. Also want to thank Fire Butler. I do want to tell you, you know, last week I didn't do a show. You guys knew that I do that horse event, the big horse event once a year, that's 4 to 5 days depending. Let me tell you, Fire Butler being one of my sponsors, you guys have seen that cart that I took to World Foods, and I've had at a couple other events here recently. I literally abused those Fire Butlers. They ran nonstop for 72 hours after the big party on Wednesday night. I started them with lump charcoal, topped off with briquettes, literally ran them around the clock. And if they weren't cooking, they were heating, and I actually would get a little bitty sleep each night. The one night, it was like 4 hours, got up the next morning, and I didn't have to start either one of them. They were still burning from the night before, which was amazing because I probably hadn't put anything on there since 6 o'clock the night before because I was done. You know, I wasn't doing any butts right then. So what happened in the 3 days of cooking just on the Fire Butlers, I did have to start one time, and it's only because I did not actually stoke the charcoal. So if you really want to abuse something, let me tell you, it will stay lit forever. So it was fun to really put the Fire Butlers through that abuse and have that feedback for Troy. The other thing is I want to thank Chops Power Injector. You know, if you're injecting a bunch of stuff, whether you're injecting a bunch of stuff or not, it'll change your world. But Dan took some amazing pictures at the barbecue convention that was held in Jacksonville. So I'm sure you can watch for some of those pictures. He really did take some great pictures. But if you are going to be doing any kind of injection, especially if you're thinking about vending or catering or something, you definitely need one. But it sure makes life a lot easier to have one of those. Royal Oak Charcoal, I'm so happy with them. Rectech Pellet Cookers and cookandpellets.com. You know, if you're using other pellets and you wonder why you're blowing through them so quickly, try some of the cookandpellets.com. If I'm at a contest and you're there and you want to try some, come by. I will give you some. If it's the end of the contest and I have part of a bag left, come by. I will give it to you. One of the guys from Sunny's, one of the Sunny's teams I was judging a couple weeks ago, and he bought a Rectech because he had seen mine. We talked quite a bit about it, but he was not happy with the way it was burning through the pellets. That machine is calibrated for those the cookandpellets.com. So especially if you're using a Rectech, but if you're using one of the other pellet cookers, they're amazing. So check them out. Anyway, guys, that's it for me. It's super, super busy here. Hope everything is going great. I'm off to Northport. I'm not cooking this weekend, but I'll be repping. So if you're there, please make sure we say hi. It's a new contest, so be patient. We are very excited to be doing something down in the Northport area, and I look forward to it. You guys going to Dothan, be careful. Anywhere else that you might be traveling to, stay safe, keep cooking, and we will be back with you next week. You never know. I might be able to get a live show in on Friday, take a look around, see what everybody's got going. So we'll look for you then. I'd like to thank Scott for being with me today, and I will be back with you next week. Thanks a lot, guys. Good night.